death was arrested and my life began. Amen. I like that one. We have to do that one again soon. All right. This morning, in our series about things of Satan in our world today, this is his domain, the world itself. And I've entitled this in Satan's Deception of God's Word, Part 1. And there are six deceptions that we're going to be finding in our scriptures this morning in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6. But after I got the work looking and trying to organize and getting the sermon of how to address each one of these deceptions, I thought, well, we might be here a while this morning. So I thought, well, I'll deal with three of them this morning, and next Sunday, the 29th, we'll look at the other deceptions of Satan. You know, very beginning of time, beginning in chapter 3, when man was created and took the fall because not listening to God, but rather to Satan, he was cast out of heaven, and I'll read some scriptures about that in today in Isaiah chapter 14. He was an angel of the Lord. He, of course, God created all angels, and there's so many, they outnumber probably the stars in the sky. There will not be any more angels. They won't die, and they are messengers. And God has a purpose for them. God had a purpose for Satan, which that wasn't his name at the time. He was beautiful, the most beautiful angel of all. But he wanted to be like God or like God and better than God. He wanted to be in control. And that could not happen because God was here first. He existed from the very beginning, and he would exist through all generations and eternity to come. So in this message today, we're challenged each day with some type of temptation. And Satan's behind it all. He was behind what happened in the Garden of Eden. And we're going to see, as I read chapter 3 of Genesis 1 through 6 in a few minutes, and recognize that he is really good about twisting the Word of God and making people, even Christians, kind of maybe doubt or wonder, okay, is this the way it really is? And that's how he tricked or deceived Eve and then Adam, and that's why we're in the shape we're in this day. Everything that's going on in the world today, the trauma and disasters and conflicts, illnesses and everything is because of sin. When man fell, it says, God said, if you eat of that fruit in the midst of a garden, you will surely die. And that's a physical death and a spiritual death, except when Christ came and interceded for us and died for our sins. So let's begin by looking at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6, the fall of man. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, that would be Eve, indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? See how he started this? And the woman said, Eve said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst or middle of the garden, God said, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it. You know, you can eat or touch it, or you will die. The servant said to the woman, you surely will not die. Now you see one word that was inserted there? The not. You surely will not. See that? Raise that question in Eve's mind. Oh, you surely not die. You know, God wouldn't do that to you. And then verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw, or when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, it looked good, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. In the mind, see, he's planting these seeds in the mind. She took from the fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband, Adam, with her, and he did eat. So, here we see that this is where it all started. Downhill from there. Well, praise God, he provided a way. If you read on over to verse 15, God provided redemption right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the same chapter I'm reading from. You read that verse today and study that verse. So Satan is very, the scripture says, crafty. He's crafty. He's deceitful. And sometimes he tries to get you to question what God has said, just like he did Eve. Got her to question. And to twist God's word to meaning something that is not true. See, he was leading Eve on. So the word of God is a powerful weapon against the devil. And Jesus used the word of God as a weapon against Satan when he was in the wilderness being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, a good verse that you need to memorize this verse. It's a good one. Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. It really is. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Isn't that a good one? That's a good verse. Memorize that verse. And when Satan comes to you and tempts you, quote this verse to you. He don't want to hear it. He'll boogie, right? He'll move on. So the words of the Lord right here serve as a shield or a protective covering for all of us, for all believers. And that's why we're in this series, Understanding Spiritual Warfare. We're in a war, spiritual war, and it's against Satan. And he's behind everything that goes on in this world that is evil or bad. So Satan realizes that the Word of God is a mighty weapon in the warfare against demonic terror. And we know there's terror in the world today. It brings in fear to all people. But you know, if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind, you know, we're going to be okay. I mean, we suffer pain, hardships, and all of those things in this physical world. But in the end, you know, Satan's going to lose the battle. We win the victory through Christ Jesus. So his plan is to break down our defenses and plunder and steal our weapons. And therefore leading us completely defenseless. That's what he tries to do. Now, in the way in which he tries to steal the word is by tainting our weapon system. Our weapon system is the Word of God. It's our communication to God as we speak to him. For he knows that without the dynamic power of God's word. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 22, 29, and Romans 1, 16, that we will experience spiritual, what I would call, misfires as we try to withstand the schemes of his attacks. Now, the devil taints the word by adding and subtracting from it. And that's what he did to Eve. He twisted it. He turned it around to make her believe a lie. And it's by substituting his own defective tactics. And that's what he does. He's good at it. So in our message today, well, we will examine some of the harmful ways in which he tries to taint the word and subvert the word of God in order to deceive you and me and all believers. That's what he tries to do. So, first of all, let's look at the whole picture here in verses 1 through 6. The tainting of the word of God. That's what Satan tries to do. So from the very beginning of when Satan was cast out of heaven because he was being naughty, he was being bad, he wanted to be like God, the devil has tried to taint the word of God. He hates God. He hates everybody. I think he hates himself. But he does. For he began utilizing his scheme shortly after creation when he was cast out of heaven. He was able to succeed at deceiving Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, resulting in sin and death. Because God said, surely if you eat of that fruit, you surely will die, or you shall die. The battlefield which he fought to deceive Adam and Eve was, you guessed it, he planted that seed in their mind. A good passage of scripture that Paul relates to, and I'm glad that we can read this, because he dealt with those temptations himself as he went about ministering, starting churches, and all the things that God called him to do. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he wrote, and he was concerned for all the Corinthian believers. And he wanted to warn them, because he says, I am afraid that just as Eve, so he mentions Eve's name, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent cunning, your minds may be somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Did you hear what he said? Your sincere and pure devotion. Now, we can be so sincere and devoted, but we can slide, we can slip, just like Eve did. Be misled, be deceived by Satan. So he said, I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by Satan's cunning, by his deceitfulness. So I want to remind us that the battlefield is within the mind. That's how Satan works. He painted that picture. He showed Eve the tree, and it was desirable by the eyes, delightful, and to eat, and just painted a beautiful picture for her. And the devil appeared to Eve in a physical form, and that's how he did then. Of course, now we know he works in the spirit. However, he will come to us speaking to our heart and our mind. And that's how he works, seeking to taint and twist the word of God. So if we want to overcome deception, you think about this now, this morning, we must become aware of what he does to trick you and me. Same way he did it with Eve. He tricked her. He deceived her. So examples of Satan's first deception is recorded right here in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6. Now, I will share three of them this morning. So here we observe six deceptions, and pretty well, I've read them off here in these six verses, that the devil might attempt to use and steal our dynamic power of the Word of God in our lives. So we're going to examine the great, and I probably do this in great detail, so we will better understand. You know, I'm a detailed person. I like to dig deep into the Word. And so that we will understand and know. You know, you need to come to our Wednesday night Bible study, because we're studying about the same thing, Satan's tactics and all the different characteristics of him and how he works and everything. So if you come, you will learn a lot. So first of all, let's Satan, he will question God's word. He will plant that seed in your mind. And the first deception that Satan utilized on Eve was he questioned. He questioned God's word, basically asking her, did God really say what you think he said? Tricky, isn't it? Now, he does that through temptation in our lives today. And sometimes unaware. We are unaware, and we're thinking, well, maybe that's just me thinking the way I'm thinking. I'm being just tempted, or it's just something pleasant to my eyes, or sweet to the smell, or whatever. But if it's not good, then Satan's behind it. So the servant said to Eve, has God indeed said? Did God really say it that way? He did not deny that God had spoken to her. He simply questioned whether God had really said what he had said to, first of all, Adam, and then Eve. See, here's how Satan works. He didn't directly... Or God didn't directly speak to Eve. He spoke to Adam, and Adam told Eve. And Eve, of course, well, maybe I misheard Adam. Maybe God said something to Adam different than what Adam said to me. So maybe what Satan is saying, might not be all wrong. So he was setting her up. Or maybe he said, perhaps you misunderstood what God spoke. What Adam spoke. Since God didn't speak directly to Eve. Is a suggestion is what Satan planted in her mind. He was putting into Eve's mind. You owe it to yourself to rethink what God said. Now, as I have read and reread this over and over and over to get it planted in my mind, what's taking place here, it's noteworthy to note that in this suggestion, Satan is also questioning God's goodness. If God really loved you, he wouldn't keep something good from you. You see how Satan works? See, Satan, he can lead us to question God's word within our mind. Now, if we are well read and study the God's word and being a Christian and really deep in our faith, then he will not have that upward hand on our lives. See, he does so through the temptation so that we will sin. The same way he did with Jesus when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And you see, our advantage is, our weapon, our device is here, our tool is the Word of God. Come back and say, well, this is what the Word of God says. I believe the Word. I don't believe you. And get lost, and he will. See, sin can be attractive. It was to Eve because it was something pleasurable. Sin is pleasurable. You think about it. Why do we sin? Because it's pleasurable. It looks good. It feels good. Tastes good. That's why people do what they do. But to replace God's internal joy with the temporary pleasures of sin only leads to misery. And ultimately results to spiritual death. And that's what God warned Adam and Eve of. It will bring death, physically and spiritual. However, it is the desire to commit sin that causes people to look for loopholes in God's Word. And I've heard people say, well, it might not be good for you, but it's okay for me. Well, you know, a person might look at it that way, but I go to the Word of God. How does this align with God's Word? What is this really saying in my life, your life, all of our lives? A sin is a sin. You can't sugarcoat it, right? You can't justify it. And people justify what they do and when they do it all the time. But we can't do that. So, it is the desire to commit sin that causes people to find loopholes in God's Word. I see it a lot. So I want to caution each and every one of us here today not to look for loopholes in God's Word, lest Satan, he will deceive us if we do that. All right. Next, Satan will deny God's Word. He denied it. He did to Eve. So the second deception that Satan utilized on Eve was to deny God's Word. Again, Satan said, you shall not surely die, in verse 4. You shall not die. You'll be all right. It is but a short step from questioning God's Word to denying it. That's what happened here. Of course, neither Adam and Eve had, now you think about it, they never seen death. They didn't know what death was like. They only knew what was good there in the garden. Everything was perfect for them. Perfect. So they didn't know what death. They had never seen death before. They didn't know, hadn't experienced it. So they didn't know, you know, they knew what was good, but they didn't know what was bad. And they didn't know that Satan was setting them up for a spiritual death and spiritual death fall. They didn't realize that. It is but a short step of questioning God's Word to denying it. Of course, you know, we see how Satan works. Now, you've probably seen the bumper sticker. I've seen this a lot. And it says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Absolutely, right? If God said it, you know, we have to believe it. We must believe it. And we don't have to go any further because that takes care of it. That settles it right there. And this seems like good advice to me, isn't it, you? Even though it's on a bumper sticker, I've heard it throughout my life. But God says it. So we need to believe it. We don't have to look for any other avenues for it. So if God tells us something in His Word, then we need to believe it and not deny what He says. So what God tells us is for our own good. He does it because he loves us. He tells us and warns us for it because he loves us. Not to harm us or make us unhappy. But God's word contains words of life, which we should heed if we're going to ever hope to be successful in our Christian walk with the Lord. And that's why Paul in chapter 6 says that we are buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, so that we might walk in the newness of life. If we be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away and new things have come. And that's why we should always depend upon the Word of God for everything. Satan's words with his lies and temptations are words of death. And that is his target, every one of us. All right, the fourth thing. Satan will substitute his own lie. He does that deceitfully. So the third deception that Satan utilized on Eve was he substituted his own lie. He said, "You will be like God." He wanted to be like God. So now he's trying to insert this into Eve's mind. Well, he don't want you to be like him. And that's in verse 5. So Adam and Eve were already made in the image of God. See, you and I are made in God's image, not physically, but spiritually, in the characteristics of God, the holiness and righteousness and all the good things that God stands for in the Word of God. That's why the scripture said we are made in the image of God. To be like him. To live like him. To serve like him. And to love like him. This was, of course, Satan's great ambition when he was Lucifer. God's angelic servant. And here's why I want to insert the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. We read the account of devils or Satan's rebellion against the Lord. And verse 12, I'll read through 14. How you have fallen from heaven. And Isaiah is saying his word led by the Spirit of God. O star of the morning, son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will rise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That was his ambition. That was his goal. You see how he works. See, Satan is a created being, a creature, but he wanted to be worshiped and served like God, the Creator. That was his ultimate desire. And through the countless years, all his fall and the fall of mankind, he gained a great following of worshipers by planting them the same temptation to become like God. And that's what he said to Eve. Yeah, he knows you'll be like him. The Bible says in Romans 1, part A and then 25, I'll read first of all verse 21 of Romans chapter 1. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. But, and then verse 25, exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve a creature rather than the Creator. See, Paul was telling the Romans, this is what you have done. This is what is going on. You're not worshiping the true living God. You have made your own. So in conclusion this morning, I hope that we have gained some insights of the deception of what Satan tries to do. And next week we'll hear the final three. But it was this specific attitude that led Satan to rebel against God and to seek, and he wanted to establish his own kingdom above God. You will be like God is the one gigantic lie that has controlled civilization since the fall of man. You think about it. Mankind, they look for power, prestige, gain of wealth, and all of the things. And see, Satan is behind it all. And even Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. So anything that we do that takes the place of God is root of all evil. Just not money, but anything that we do that's Satan-driven. So I want to, again, remind us how that we can do battle with the Word of God. Read Hebrews chapter 12, and that will give you in a good insight how we can battle Satan against the Word of God. Using the Word of God. So when we rely upon God's Word and stand on the truth of God, His very truth, then the one who does all of the fighting is Jesus Christ. He did that for us. For according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Son of Man was manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil. And He did. And that's how we can, that's where Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 takes in. You know, He crushed Satan when He was crucified. Bruised His heel, but He crushed Satan's head by dying on the cross for the sins of the world. That's when God took care of providing salvation, that redemption for each and every one of us. God always has a plan. We need to be on His plan. And He gives us that plan straight and clear, straight from His Word. And if we'll read it, study it, we'll have our defense system ready, in place, intact, when Satan comes and tries to deceive us. We are in a spiritual battle in this world, and it's been going on ever since the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve was deceived. And it won't end, will it, until Christ comes again. But if we allow Christ to live in and through our lives each day by reading, studying, and praying, and putting up our defense system against Satan, we shall be victorious. We shall overcome. God will make sure of that. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Scriptures. And we thank You that You give us warning and yet understanding the discernment of Your Word by the power of Your Holy Spirit. That's exactly what You told the disciples before You ascended back to the Father after the crucifixion, after You rose and was on the earth for 40 days. But You told Your disciples, and we read it, and it is for us today, that You must go back to the Father so the Holy Spirit will come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Comforter, Paraclete, the Teacher, the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things that you taught. That's what you told the disciples. And now we have your word. We have the word that they didn't have, the New Testament. They had the old, but now we have the entire Bible to read and study so that we will better understand your will and your purpose and be able to put on the full armor of God each day as we arise. We have to put it on every day, not just once a week or when we feel like it, but we need to put the full armor of God on each day, your word, and trust in it and believe in it and use it. Lord, I thank you for each one here today. And Lord, we all struggle in some way. And Lord, we know that Satan works on our weaknesses. He knows where we're weak, vulnerable, just like Eve. Makes things look good, sound good, taste good. And we know it's not good for our lives, our body, or because our bodies are your temple. And we need to look at it that way. That's why we were made in your image. Lord, speak to each and every one of us today, where we are. You meet us right where we are. You reveal exactly what we need to do to renew our lives. Or maybe there's someone here or listening that doesn't know you personally that needs to invite your Son, Jesus Christ, into their lives. This is a place, a good place to be today, hearing the word and responding to your invitation. Make it clear and plain to each one of us, Lord, if there's a decision that we need to make today, Lord, may we be willing to come to this altar and make it public. Would you tell us, whoever will confess you before man, you'll confess us before the Father. What a wonderful example that is. Jesus set that example. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day, for your invitation, and may we be led by your Spirit to make the decision that will bless us eternally. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song, our invitation. I'll be here at the front to pray with you, talk with you, however God's leading you today.